Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is a U.S. human rights attorney who is from India. He is a Sikh, and his name is Gurpatwant Singh Panoon. And we're going to talk about religious persecution going on in India, and that includes not only Sikhs, which he is a part of, but also Christians. There's a sizable Christian population in India as well. And Mr. Panoon, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jerry, for having me on your program.
Sure. And yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. All right. So here's why don't you give us a broad picture of, you know, I know India is basically, it's run by Hindus and so forth, but there are times, you know, under some governments where there's more freedom for other minority religions than other times. And apparently this is one of those times. The Prime Minister Modi apparently is very strong in a, you know, in a kind of a militant form of Hinduism. And that's bad news for the minority religions like the Christians and the Sikhs.
Yes, I fully agree with your analysis. But we have to see their real face of the Indian democracy, which they call, and the basic piece is the Indian Constitution. The Indian Constitution labels the Sikh religion as the part of the Hindu religion.
Oh.
So this is the first constitution in the whole world, except, I would say, where there are dictatorships or there are military regimes. I'm not sure about them. But having said that, if a country calls itself a democratic country, if they call themselves a secular nation, then how come their constitution labels a Sikh religion, which is 30 million community throughout the world, and they label them as a part of the Hindu religion? The consequence of Sikhs being labeled as Hindus, that every community member has to follow the Hindu family and personal laws. And that's where the successive governments in India, whether it is right now the Hindu nationalist BJP, or even the previous governments, the Congress governments, the minorities, especially Christians, Sikhs, and the Muslims, they are under threat of being exterminated from that particular nation.
Mm.
It's not only Sikh population of India that are being feeling that they are on the verge of being exterminated. Their religious rights are being subjugated to the under Hindu laws. If you really talk about even 2019, I would give you an example. In 2019, if you see the number of violent incidents against the Christians, it has gone up 57% from the last year.
Wow.
So every day there are incidents of violence against the Christians, two incidents of violence which are reported. And this is a country where the police goes with the government who is running the country. So if two incidents of violence are reported a day, that makes 60 incidents a month which are reported. And how many will be unreported?
Yeah. Well, just so I have an idea, how many Christians are there in India about?
There is a very minimal population. I would say 1.7%. I may be wrong on that particular percentage.
And India has about 1 billion people, right?
Yes, 1 billion people.
Yeah. And by the way, because I was in Pakistan once many years ago, I actually did a little, somebody had said to me that there were more Muslims in India than there are in Pakistan, and I looked it up, and it was, if these numbers are correct, it said it was about 200 million Muslims in India. So yeah. Out of 1 billion, that's one-fifth of the population, and yet you're saying they're a minority religion and is being persecuted. And then in the meantime, in Pakistan, it was 197 million, and most of the population would be Muslims, but that holds up. In other words, there are more Muslims, technically just a little bit more, in India,
yes,
which is not a Muslim country, than in Pakistan, which is an officially Muslim country. Yeah. So the Christians are being persecuted in India. Just so people understand, what is the Sikh religion and what is happening to your people in India at this present time?
We have to go back to the history, because the Sikh population, which in 1947, when the British was giving the independence to that particular sector after the decolonization in 1947, the Muslims got the Pakistan. So the majority moved to Pakistan. The Sikh population, which is concentrated in the Punjab part, which is the northeast, so they decided to stay under Indian regime with a agreement that they will be having an autonomous federal system, like something like what we have in the United States, that accept the army and the other issues which are related to the security of the nation and the country. The state will have its own autonomous constitution and autonomous body, because that the Sikh population is concentrated in that. But once the constitution came into existence in 1950, that's where the struggle for the Sikhs' right to self-determination started, that the Punjab started asking for freedom. Punjab started asking for the independence of its own country. So when they started talking about the autonomy in Punjab, the Indian government started doing the genocidal violence, which culminated in the attack on one of our most religious places of worship, that is Golden Temple in Amritsar, in 1984. The Indian army, like more than 70,000 Indian army, surrounded that place of worship, let the people go inside the complex, and then clamped a curfew. Nobody was allowed out.
Wow.
It was one of the most populous days of the Sikh history, when the Sikh pilgrims go inside and pay their respect. So more than 10,000 Sikh pilgrims were killed by the Indian army, along with the whole state of Punjab was under curfew. There were American journalists from Associated Press who stayed back in Punjab because they were forced to move out. And he wrote an article that how the dead bodies and after the dead bodies were being brought out by the army, how the army blindfolded and after point-blank killing of the children, to the women, to the older men, they were burnt on the side. And he was even charged with the sedition. The Indian government even charged an American journalist from Associated Press. And then there is a history of, I would say, a militant, two decades of militancy coming from both sides, from the Indian government. And the Sikhs also armed themselves to defend their places of worship, to defend their rights under the Indian regime. And within 6 months of the attack on the Golden Temple,
Indira Gandhi,
the Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi, as you mentioned, she was assassinated by her own bodyguards, which resulted in a genocide of the Sikhs throughout India. Mm. More than 30,000 Sikhs, and majority of them necklaced to death in India. The women were raped. Children as old as 2 months were burnt to death.
Mm.
And this was organized by the Indian government at that time within 3 days. And that also resulted in an armed resistance from the Sikh militants after that. Now, coming to the present regime, which is BJP, which is a Hindu nationalist government, which came into power in 2014 under Narendra Modi, and this individual is himself responsible for the massacre of Muslims in 2002. And he was banned to enter United States under the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998. He's the only political leader from the world who was banned to enter United States. And he was banned in UK, he was banned in Canada, but he happens to run the biggest democracy, as they call it, with a Hindu agenda that they wanted to convert India into a Hindu nation. And the Sikhs, yeah, Muslims, and the Christians. And you can see the reports after the reports that how the minorities are being on the verge of being exterminated. The armed militant wings of BJP, which is Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, which is called RSS, they run the whole campaign against the Sikhs, Muslims, and the Christians. The pastors are being killed, churches are being burnt, nuns are being raped, Muslims are forced to eat pork, which they consider as a holy. Sikhs are being forced to leave their places of worship, leave their residences, and to move on. So the plight of the minority under this Hindu nationalist government is, I would say, described as one of the worst in the world.
Okay, we have 3 minutes to go. It's hard to believe we've already talked that long. But you are a human rights attorney, and I understand that as you're trying to let the world know about what's going on in India, and you know, not only on behalf of the Sikhs, but also the Muslims and the Christians. And Sikhs, by the way, is spelled S-I-K-H, for anybody not familiar with that. And Modi, the Prime Minister of India, is M-O-D-I. But I understand that Twitter and some of the big tech, maybe even Facebook, I guess, they've started to censor you for some reason. Tell us about that.
See, our group, as we stated in the beginning, Sikhs for Justice, is a human rights advocacy group, and I'm their legal advisor. The Facebook banned the Sikhs for Justice in 2015. The reason behind banning was that we protested Modi's visit to the United States. Within a month of the protest, the Facebook banned us. Same thing is with the Twitter. When we are making a campaign that religious minorities are under threat under Modi's Hindu nationalist government, Twitter has blocked our accounts. So the big tech companies, since we are not big enough to fight them, under the color of that, everything is a freedom of speech and expression, what we do. We follow everything under the law. We are following the international laws, U.S. laws, Canadian laws, and running the campaign that religious minorities are being persecuted. But the big tech companies, Facebook and Twitter, including Instagram, even my own WhatsApp phone has been blocked, not only in India, it's worldwide. Wow. Nobody can send me a message, and I cannot send a message to anybody, just because we are exposing what Modi government is doing to the religious minorities.
Wow, that's amazing. So, again, you are coming at it not from a Christian perspective, but you are also pointing out that Christians are being attacked. And you said that the increase in 2019, this year, of attacks on Christians is up by 57% in India. I've not heard that before. And we have half a minute to go.
You can go and find the reports from the various Christian evangelical groups. You would see reports after reports and authenticated information and how the freedom of press is even suppressed. You cannot even the U.S. Religious Freedom Commission has not been allowed to enter India.
Wow.
Their visas have been revoked. They are not allowed to enter India, even the U.S. Commission. So you can see that something is being held back by India, which we are not able to expose. And if we try to expose these big tech companies and the social media groups, they are forcing and blocking us at the behest of the Indian government.
Well, we're out of time, but let me give you your website. It's Sikhs for Justice, S-I-K-H-S for Justice.org. Thank you, Panoon, for being with us. Mr. Panoon.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.